Good morning and welcome to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming online. We appreciate you tuning in. Today is Sunday, January 7th, 2018, and I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz. I'm here to talk with Stephanie Zavan, Mike Harbrick, and August Berkshire about the 10 years of Atheist Talk. Happy birthday, Atheist Talk!
Yay.
This is an open conversation, and we welcome and encourage listener interaction with your phone calls to 952-946-6205, your emails to radio@mnatheist.org, or tweet us at Atheist Talk. The phone number is only available when we are live, but you can always email, tweet, or Facebook us, whether we're live or you're listening to the podcast. 10 years ago, a group in Minnesota decided to add their voice to the local waves, radio waves. We've had guests like Richard Dawkins, Andrew Torres, Greta Christina, Suna Jacoby, Marissa Alexa McCool, Amanda Kniff, and more. We've gone on through thick and thin. In this time, we've had several people hold the reins, and today I've gathered a few of them to talk about their favorite, least favorite, and funniest moments here on Atheist Talk. A tradition that has followed Atheist Talk is the meeting at Cucumbers, which is this week, so please join us at 10:30. Mike, I think you might be the only one who doesn't show up.
Well, I was thinking about flying down or using my transporter, but I couldn't quite get it working this morning.
Those things are so buggy. All right, well, Stephanie, Mike, August, good morning, and welcome to Atheist Talk.
Good morning, Hertzy.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So, August, I think we're going to start with you for a little bit, because how did this whole thing get started, this radio show?
Okay, well, this station, KTNF, used to be part of the old Air America network. Some of you might remember that Air America had people like Al Franken, Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Rachel Maddow, Janine Garofalo. So it was a liberal nationwide network of shows, stations. And the Freedom From Religion Foundation in Madison, Wisconsin in 2006 started the Free Thought Radio show. And it was carried on a lot of Air America stations, but it was not carried in the Twin Cities.
What?
So we checked it out, and to have it on this station here would cost money. They would sell the time slot. Freedom From Religion Foundation was getting their show broadcast free on most other Air America stations, so of course they went with the free. But I thought, boy, it would be nice to have an atheist radio show here. Maybe Minnesota Atheists can help raise some money for them, get them on. Maybe we could even, in exchange for having raised some money, get a little portion of their show at the end to promote ourselves. As it turns out, that wouldn't have been possible. It's a very segmented show that they have. There's no way anybody could have tagged on to it. But still, just to even have them on the radio would have been a cool thing. So I was talking to Dan Barker, who's one of the co-presidents of Freedom From Religion Foundation, about this, raising money to try to get them on. He says, well, if you guys are raising the money, why don't you do your own show? And I thought about it, and we have a lot of talent here in Minnesota Atheists. I thought, yeah, why not? Why don't we? So we gathered together a bunch of people and went for it.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to start with a very basic question after that. Actually, really good history lesson. How did each of you get started and introduced to the radio show? Stephanie, do you want to start?
Actually, Mike should start.
Oh, Mike should start.
He has been with us much longer than I have.
All right, Mike?
Well, for some odd reason, August, without ever having hear me on the radio at all, thought that I might have a nice radio voice, and he asked me to see if I wanted to do it. As a host, because Bjorn Watman was doing it just a film-in basis until we found a more permanent host. And so he asked me, and I thought, well, that'd be kind of exciting to try it out. And so we came in, sat in on a show while Bjorn hosted, and then I said, well, yeah, I can do that. And so I agreed to be the host for a while. And I'd been listening to it since its inception, and probably one of the few callers in the call-in portion of the show. So I was glad to do it.
Awesome.
And then a couple of years later, Mike came to me and was like, you have a good voice. I think he might have been at that point a little tired of doing as much of it as he was himself, because we do have to get up on Sunday mornings when we would otherwise be sleeping in and come do it. So I started hosting, and then every once in a while doing an interview, and these days I mostly interview when I do it. Nice. Well, actually, these days you mostly have me on to talk about something else, but that's okay. We'll get back to interviewing.
August?
Well, I had heard of, you know, Free Thought Radio, and I had heard of the Air America Network. So put the two together, and, you know, Freedom from Religion Foundation didn't work, but we, you know, I think I might have even been president of Minnesota Atheists at the time. And I just asked around, and who wants to go for this, and we did.
Nice.
We've had a lot of people over the years do some very important roles. I don't know if this is a high burnout position, but Bruce Honigford started out. Then we had Bjorn Watland, Carl Hancock, Mike Hobrick, Stephanie Zavan, and Brianne Bilyeu, Hertzy Hertz. Hopefully you don't burn out anytime soon.
I haven't yet.
Maddie Love has done a lot of great stuff for us.
Yes. Hi, Maddie. If you're listening, or when you're looking at this for the podcast. All right. I have to admit, actually, my introduction was being a guest on the show. And then a couple of friends and I, we were like, oh, we'll just take this 1 week. And then it was like, oh, we need someone to do the thing. And I was like, eh, sure, why not? All right. So what was your first show, Mike?
The first show that I did as an interviewer was... I decided it'd be kind of fun to do a promotion for the Beagle Project, which was a project to raise funds for the anniversary of the 150th anniversary of the publication of On the Origin of the Species. And Karen and Peter from that project agreed to be on the show to talk about it. And one of the interesting things about it is that up until that point, we had generally had two topics per show because we thought that maybe it would be kind of boring to talk about the same topic for about an hour. How do you keep guests going for that long? And so I broke it up. I had Peter on for the first segment of the show and Karen for the second segment of the show. And it worked out really well. It turned out to be a pretty good show, I thought. I got some things wrong. I had fully researched the way it should, but Peter and Karen were both glad to correct me gently while we were on the air, and I had fun with it.
Awesome. Stephanie?
The first several interviews I did, I completely cheated because I interviewed people I already knew and talked to, which, you know, if you're thinking about getting into this, this is not a bad way to do it. The first show that I did was promoting a conference called Science Online, which doesn't exist anymore, but it was basically a... conference where a bunch of people who were doing various things to communicate science using the internet, which that was a relatively new thing because we're talking probably 2010, maybe even 2009, for that, got together, talked about, you know, what they'd done, the challenges, what worked, what didn't. And we're all getting together trying to figure out how to use this not entirely new technology, but, you know, things were being added to make it easier or supposedly easier all the time, and just figuring out how to get good information out there.
Nice. August?
Well, you know, it's interesting how the structure of the show has changed. The first show we envisioned, and we did it this way, there were going to be different segments. The first segment was going to be current events, typically political things happening in separation of state and church. Then we were going to have a moment of science, and that was by P.Z. Myers. And then we had some atheist history. I forget, it might have been like Ingersoll. I forget who it was in the first show. And then all of that was in the first half hour, and the second half hour was the guest, a speaker. And we got, our member Christine Harley got us Richard Dawkins for our very first guest, and we were able to parlay that into a lot of publicity to get the show up and running. Well, as it turns out, it was getting harder and harder to do those segments, and they were expanding to take up the time. So then, as Mike said, we dropped the segments and just went to two guests, one in each half-hour segment. And then finally, we just kind of had the format we do now is one guest for the whole show.
Wait, and we have a format?
And especially, we used to have the whole hour to ourselves. Now we're still paying for this time slot, and we subcontract or sell the last segment to American Atheists, who are very nice to help us pay the bills. And you should all become members of American Atheists at atheist.org.
All right. So we've got about a minute and a half. What is your favorite role, Mike?
I think being the interviewer was my favorite role, because that would take a little bit of the pressure off, believe it or not. The host has to kind of watch and interrupt people at breaks and stuff like that, and kind of keep an eye on the time. But when you're interviewing, you're just kind of having a conversation with somebody about something, a topic that you find interesting. And hopefully you come up with questions that people in the audience would like you to ask. But that's what I enjoyed the most, is being the interviewer.
Stephanie?
For me, it's definitely been interviewing people who have never been interviewed before. So getting people out there who don't do a ton of media appearances and kind of getting them used to the idea that they have things to say and helping them get their message out there and calming all of those nerves that somebody who's never been on the radio before has. That part's just, so I guess developing voices for me.
Nice. August, we will get back to you in just a moment. Please stay with us through the break, and we'll return to Atheist Talk with Stephanie, Mike, and August. I'm Hertzie Hertz, and you're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio.
And I'm Karen. Join us every Saturday at 8 a.m. It's all about food, you know, Laura.
Right, the health of the planet. You know, carbon-based farming can solve the climate crisis.
Well, because community is medicine.
And it's not about one seed to rule them all anymore.
One seed rules the world.
Yeah, let's have something else. Let's, worry about our individual health, our community health, the health of the planet, while eating food.
Yeah, because it's all tied to food.
So listen to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m.
on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, 2017, the examined year.
What happened this past year to challenge our assumptions and make us think about things in new ways?
We'll talk to Larry Kramer, president of the Hewlett Foundation, about the year in democracy and social media.
We'll also talk to Laura Kipnis, author of Unwanted Advances, about the year in gender relations.
It's the examined year, 2017, next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 5 p.m. right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Saturdays at 1 p.m., you have a chance at a fresh start, a new beginning. Hi, everybody. This is Freddie Bell, host of New Beginnings. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. Join us Saturdays at 1 p.m. for New Beginnings with Freddie Bell on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Psst. Yeah, you. It's me, your heart. Listen to me. We've got to talk. High blood pressure is serious, and yours? Whoa. What happened to us? We used to be so much more active. But lately, you've been ignoring me. I know you think I'm just going to keep ticking away forever, but you're wrong. You can do so much more to control your high blood pressure. Doing the minimum isn't doing enough. I'm under a lot of pressure and can quit whenever I want. Bet you didn't know that. But I like my job. Just treat me better. Check on me. Give me something green to nibble on every once in a while. And maybe we can do some exercise on occasion. Let's get to it. After all, we're in this together.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Being a true American means more than just baseball, blue jeans, and rock and roll. Being an American also means taking responsibility. So if you're a man turning 18, do your part. Register with Selective Service. It keeps you eligible for college loans, government jobs, and job training. Plus, it's the law. To register, log on to www.sss.gov or pick up a Selective Service registration card at any post office. Be a man and register.
Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned in to Atheist Talk, and I'm your host, Hertzie Hertz, and I'm having a great conversation with Stephanie, Mike, and August. Before we get back, however, I want to remind everyone listening that immediately following this program, you can listen to American Atheist Viewpoint, an official production from American Atheist. Please note, you can always catch American Atheist Viewpoint by subscribing to the podcast version in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or the podcast player of your choice. As for the here and now, if you'd like to get involved in the conversation with Stephanie, Mike, and August, you can call us at 952-946-6205, email us at radio@mnatheist.org, or tweet us at Atheist Talk, or check out our Facebook, Atheist Talk. I also want to take a moment to thank a behind-the-scenes volunteer who has been with Atheist Talk, I think, since the beginning. August, you can correct me if I'm wrong on that, and has been amazing to work with. And I just want to say thank you, Steve, for all of your hard work and help throughout the years.
Yes.
So we were talking about our favorite roles, and August, I'm going to butt in with mine because mine is the exact opposite of yours, Mike. I like being the host. I like having a nice little script I read, and then, you know, I can interject every so often with a question or a funny comment. August, how about you? What's your favorite role?
Well, I've never been the host. I've just either been interviewed or been the interviewer. The show that sticks out in my mind as one of my favorites is a special...
Favorite role. We'll get to show next.
Do I like to be interviewed or conduct the interview? I guess it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Either way.
All right. Well, Mike, do you remember your first guest?
Yeah, the first guest was actually that Beagle Project show. It was Karen James, and I'm sorry, I forgot your last name, but they were instrumental in trying to fundraise a project for the Beagle to build a replica for science, and so it was a pair. Pair of guests. They were a lot of fun. They were very good on the radio. Interesting. Talked to Peter from London, and Karen was also in England at the time. So it was like, I don't know if that was our first overseas show, but it was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Stephanie, do you remember your first guest?
Well, I've already talked about talking to Bora for Science Online, but after that, I think the next person I interviewed was Peter Lipson, who is a doctor out of Michigan who's been involved in the skeptic movement for a very long time. He used to blog as PalMD, particularly with the crew on the Denialist blog. And so we, I believe, talked about vaccination.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is always a little bit of a contentious topic. Pretty sure that was the first show I had a call on. And so, he's really good. One of the things that he does for a living is calm the fears of people. And so when we're talking about vaccines, we're, working on parents' fears because anti-vaxxers really work to stoke those. And so that was a really good example of one of those times when I got a call where I just kind of cringed as I listened to the call, and the guest handled it just fine, which is honestly usually the way it goes.
Oh, yeah. August?
Well, I was on the very first show. I can't exactly remember my role. I know I wasn't the host, and I wasn't the main interviewer. That was Christine Harley interviewed Richard Dawkins.
I think you talked to PZ in a Moment of Science.
Okay, but then he was the one who did the Moment of Science. I might have introduced the segments, perhaps.
Yeah.
But I didn't work the controls. I've never worked. I would remember that. It would be a terrifying experience. And I would remember.
We'd like to make a moment to thank KTNF and their awesome producers.
Yeah.
We got a thumbs up from Hunter, so I guess that's good.
One thing I found as an interviewer is just make a really long list of questions, more than you can possibly think you're going to use. And, put them in a priority order. And that takes away a lot of nervousness. I'm not the greatest about thinking of questions off the top of my head. So that's what's worked for me.
I sometimes go a little free thought and go, well, free List free. Okay. Yeah, my first one was, I think, Andrew Torres from Opening Arguments, and that was so nerve-wracking because I like his show so much. How has the show evolved since you started becoming involved with this? Mike?
One of the things that's really evolved is we broadened our topics out quite a bit. I mean, in addition to the format, but so one of the things as a producer I kind of wanted to emphasize was that this is not really a show about talking about atheism, but talking with atheists and talking about topics that atheists are interested in, things like science fiction, comics, literature, and especially science. And so we broadened out what we bring in. It's gotten, well, you know, Stephanie has really helped in bringing it out to be a lot more intersectional as far as the way that society interacts with atheism. And so I think it's really gotten to be a really good show as a resource for people.
Stephanie or August?
Yeah. Well, for a while, one of our major sponsors was the Humanists of Minnesota. And a lot of interviews were conducted by Scott Lohman. And one of the conditions, which we happily agreed to, of having them be a major sponsor was we would have humanist topics. We wouldn't just talk about, you know, killing God. How often can you do that? So we were broadening ourselves into secular humanism by bringing them in. But it's a direction we were headed anyway, and it's a direction we still have.
I think the one that really stands out for me is that we have managed to become less celebrity-driven over time, which I really appreciate. As I said, I tried to bring in a lot of people who hadn't necessarily ever been interviewed before. For me, it was a lot of activists who were working on various projects that I felt were, you know, in need of promotion. With the occasional show, like a holiday show where we talked about what atheists actually do or don't do for Christmas, that kind of thing.
It's kind of like the war on Christmas we had right. a couple weeks ago.
And you have really taken that since you've taken over and done a lot more of that kind of show where it's atheists just kind of having more casual conversation with each other. So I've really appreciated that.
Aww. Let's say we'll still have a few celebrities because there's a few like big name podcasters, or at least in my circle, big name podcasters that I'm like, we need you on. Marissa, I'm looking at you. All right. So what was your favorite guest or topic? We'll go with the positive thoughts first, Mike.
Well, I kind of did this with a little bit of a motivation, and I had a show about Camp Quest on there.
Yay.
Part of the reason was because my son was heavily involved in Camp Quest. I wanted to give him a chance to be on the radio. And so we did Camp Quest, and it was kind of interesting because he was there talking about some of the things that go on in the cabins and stuff like that. And while he was describing something that was, he said, and he kind of looked at me like, should I be talking about this in front of my dad?
So we're actually going to have to come back to answer the rest of those questions. And we'll return with our guests, Stephanie, Mike, and August, right after the break. Please stay with us. I'm Hertzy Hertz, and you're listening to Atheist Talk on KTNF, AM 950.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dinah. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly, plus our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers, with scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from, it's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, One Heavenly Buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug with Hidden Edges Radio on Sundays from 1 to 2 p.m. Join me this Sunday for an interview with Dale Grunke, the mayor of Delano, Minnesota, who will talk about how the city has come together following a racial hatred incident that involved swastikas and horrible names. Learn how Delano didn't run from the incident and instead leaned in to make the community more inclusive. Hidden Edges Radio, challenging, passionate, perspective-changing. On AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers. Here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheists Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high near 26. Monday, mostly sunny with a high near 22. And Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 18.
Which appliance store has more of everything you want? Over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners believe it's the specialists at Warner Stellion. We guarantee never to be beat on price. Ask one of our customers to rate our free delivery, appliance installation, and recycling services. Go to WarnerStellion.com to learn more.
Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF. I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz, and we're here having what I would classify as a fascinating conversation with Stephanie Zavan, Mike Harbrick, and August Berkshire, the old crowd remembering 10 years of Atheist Talk.
I'm just feeling a little ancient. Go on.
Before we continue this conversation, which will be our final segment with Stephanie, Mike, and August, there's a bit of housekeeping I need to attend to. Atheist Talk is produced with the funding from Minnesota Atheists and Cucumbers Restaurant in Edina, Minnesota. Please consider visiting our sponsors, and if you do, let them know that you appreciate their support of Atheist Talk. If you'd like to advertise on the program and help keep us on the air, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. I also want to note our dedicated group of volunteers and the generous donations of you, our listeners. You'll help keep Atheist Talk on the air and in podcast form. I also want to note our donors this week, which is George and Jim, and all the attendees at the Flying Spaghetti Monster Dinner. If you're able to help with a donation, please consider doing so at our Radio Fund page or at our Patreon at www.patreon.com/atheisttalk. Minnesota Atheist is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization, and we couldn't do this show without you. We deeply appreciate your support. Music for Atheist Talk is by composer and member Brent Michael Davis and is used with permission. Please note all our opinions are of the guests and hosts only and do not necessarily reflect those of Minnesota Atheist as an organization. As always, check out the Minnesota Atheist website for podcasts of previous programs. You can browse our articles, book reviews, and peruse the calendar of upcoming events. You can also sign up for the Atheist Weekly email. AWE will give you a heads up as to upcoming events, and it's a great way to stay connected to the community. We always have tons of activities going on all around the Twin Cities and the outlying suburbs. If you enjoy the show and all Minnesota Atheist has to offer, consider becoming a member of Minnesota Atheist while you're on the website. Membership has some great perks. Check out how on the website. With all that relevant and very useful information out of the way, let's get back to our conversation with Stephanie, Mike, and August.
Thanks, Hertzy.
I'm getting better at that. All right, so Mike was talking about his favorite guest or topic. Stephanie, you're up next.
I've gotten to, through the show, interview Neil deGrasse Tyson, but honestly, I don't even remember it. I was a little nervous on that one. I think the one that stands out for me was the second time that I've talked to Amanda Marcotte on here. We usually try to schedule shows way ahead, but one of the advantages of that not always working out is that sometimes I get to talk to people about very topical things. And this was just after the Planned Parenthood hit videos had come out, and there was a whole bunch of information still working on coming out on them, and a bunch of reproductive rights activists who were going through and trying to get their message out. But the group that did it was, you know, releasing videos in a way that was very media savvy, and so they were the ones mostly getting their information forward. And so we got to sit down for an hour and go, okay, no. Here's what's going on. Here's what happened with these videos. You know, here's what we know. Here's some information on how these things really happen. And so it was a chance to get out there and clear up some really bad political misinformation in essentially real time. And I don't get to have an effect like that all that often. So that was very cool.
That is pretty awesome. August?
Well, I've been active in the atheist movement for about 35 years, so I probably have more of a sense of history than a lot of atheists. And the show that sticks out in my mind is we did a special Mother's Day show on the founding mothers of free thought.
Ooh.
And I had Annie Laurie Gaylor, who published a book called Women Without Superstition, which is the best bargain in atheism. It's a thick hardcover book, $25. It remains the best bargain. Anyway, we obviously couldn't cover all the women in there, but we picked four. And we discussed them for the show. And that sticks out in my mind as one of my favorites.
All right. And what was the worst guest or topic you had, Mike?
It wasn't that they were a bad person or a bad topic, but it was kind of a fill-in because, well, one of my panics was always getting the phone number wrong or something like that. And I had gotten Mike Weinstein's phone number wrong, so we tried to call him and we didn't get through. So the first segment worked well. We had Steve Peterson, volunteer, great guy, who contacted somebody from a military atheist group, and that segment went well. But for the second half, Cynthia actually talked to somebody, and I don't want to name names, but it was one of those interviews where she was really trying to get somebody to talk, and the poor guy couldn't come up with anything more than just a yes or no type of answer. So here, poor Cynthia and I are trying to fill in the time while the guest is kind of sitting there twiddling his thumbs. And that was really difficult. And I think it's probably every interviewer's nightmare.
All right. And looks like we have a call. But we'll wait for the producer to get that. So, Stephanie, do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I don't think I've had any, you know, bad guests, although the first time I interviewed Amanda Marcotte, I did really have to get used to the fact that she answered both my question and every follow-up that I had written down in about three sentences when I asked it. So I was scrambling at the end to come up with stuff. And luckily, we had a climate change denier call in, and she just took him out, and that was beautiful. But no, it's always the one where you have a trouble actually getting a hold of the guest. And at one point I was interviewing Jessica Ahlquist, who was in town, and the folks who were bringing her had trouble finding the studio. Ooh. So I got to sit there and talk by myself for the first entire segment.
Oh, man.
I have no idea to this day what I talked about, but We did manage it, and once she got in, it was a great show.
Oh, good. Well, we actually have Scott Lohman on. He is a host and also has been a longtime member of Atheist Talk. How are you doing, Scott?
Hi, guys. It's great to have a show. It's kind of I was kind of shocked when I realized we'd now gotten to 10 years. It didn't seem like we've been doing it that long.
No.
No, there was a break for about a year and a half where we didn't have the show.
Really?
Right, but yeah. Still, even getting to 10 years is impressive for a lot of things on that.
Wait, so I had to wait a year and a half to do this? Dang it.
Well, it's an opportunity for another show.
Okay, true. Scott?
So the two things I wanted to bring up as you're asking about fun shows, I don't remember my first time. I actually think it was interviewing Susan Jacoby way back when we were having her as a guest for the our annual humanist banquet on that. So that was kind of fun and a little nerve-wracking getting ready. But the interesting one was the one time that I think Michael remember this. We were trying to call C.J. Whirlyman in, he was in somewhere in the southeast Pacific. And
Indonesia.
We were desperately trying to dial him. We had to use this calling card and thing. So the poor engineer had to type in like 20 phone numbers. And I was watching him do that. And we're coming on live. And it's like, okay, we don't have the guest online. This is going to be very interesting.
So Scott interviewed me about a book that he hadn't even read.
Yep, which fortunately Mike had. So we were able to sound intelligent for about half the show, and then I think we can't remember if we actually did get him on for part of it or if it just never connected.
No, I don't think we ever did connect. It was kind of difficult, but we made it through, and you were professional, and then it sounded good.
So that was made interesting. So I just wanted to contribute those two things. I'll let you guys finish up. It's been great being involved with this show, and I really enjoy it.
Scott, if you want to stick around, that's fine.
Okay, I will do that.
Awesome, because I was going to say my moment of scariness was with Maddie Love, and she and I were going to be talking to Sherry. Oh, who's the artist, the musician?
Shelley Siegel.
Thank you. Her name always.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there was there's some kind of hiccup with the number, and I can't remember exactly what happened. And so, this was the first time Maddie and I had ever met in person. So we're looking at each other across the table, and we're just like, "What do we do? What do we do? What do we do?" We ended up talking about Star Wars and diversity for two halves of the show, or for two thirds.
I think Scott Loman, who's on the line with us, is the only one out of all of us that had any sort of radio background at all. And it really shows. I think, Scott, you're the best cold interviewer. You could have any guest, and as Mike was saying, you could know nothing about the topic, but you can keep it rolling by asking really good questions off the top of your head. So I really commend you for that.
Oh, thanks, August. Well, it comes my day job is customer service, so I'm a professional at asking questions on that. But that's one thing is I do think about things. But so I've always discovered that my favorite thing is when I'll think about questions. So I know a number I'm going to ask, but is getting an answer from a question that comes up from the answer of the guest and getting the best answer of the show.
Yeah. All right. So. My next question is going to be, how do you think the show has benefited the atheist community? Mike, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'd like to do that. It's done a lot, especially in the Twin Cities area, but it's done a lot in allowing people to know about the Minnesota Atheist as a place where people in Twin Cities who might think that they're kind of by themselves as atheists to connect with a group. I know that there are a few people that started coming to atheist meetings. But it also broadens the experience that non-atheists have with us, learning more about us, understanding us a little bit better, and realizing that we don't just sit around talking about nothing just because we don't believe in God, that we are fully realized and whole people. So I think it's a great benefit.
Stephanie?
I think in addition to that, one of the things that we've done really well, and the humanists are part of that, is really keeping the topics broad. We haven't killed God on every radio show, and we have gone beyond just talking about science, which is the first way that atheism tends to broaden out its topics. So we have, we've talked about the impact on culture. We've talked about the impact on politics. And so I think we've really helped to kind of define what atheism is.
Well, what I really like about this show is we're not just atheists talking to ourselves, that you can be driving in your car or at home, spinning the dial and come across a live atheist radio show. Just the general public can stumble onto us and learn more about atheism. Even the Freedom from Religion show, the Free Thought Today, Freedom from Religion Foundation, their show's not live. Ours is live. We're, I don't know if we're the only live radio show, but we're one of the very few.
We're one of the few. But I think we're the only one in Minnesota.
And we, it's interesting, people tune into us either streaming us live or podcast afterwards from all over the world. We once had a woman, a researcher in Antarctica, who listened to our show.
We have been on all seven continents. That is awesome.
Yes. Hey, Scott, can you stick on the air after the show? But I think Hertzie probably needs to take us out.
Well, if he can do it in 39 seconds.
Well, the cool thing for me is that as a humanist, most people don't know what we are. So the great thing that with the show has been able to explain a lot about humanism. I've had a number of great guests from the AHA and other humanists, and so it's been great to get that out so people can explore more on what humanism is.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody. For those who are patient, we are going to be doing a Patreon-only segment after this. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful day.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
Atheists, secular humanists, and freethinkers. Here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheist Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
I've never met another atheist.
Sure you have. Non-believers make up 12% of the population.
Then where are they?
You can meet us at book clubs, pub crawls, discussion groups, movie nights, monthly meetings.
Okay, I get it. How am I going to keep track of all this?
Easy. Sign up for Minnesota Atheist Meetup Group and subscribe to AWE.
What's a meetup group?
Meetup is an online networking site that helps people build communities. We have over 700 members with at least two events every week.
And what is AWE?
It stands for Atheist Weekly Email. It comes out every Friday and lists everything that's going on.
How do I sign up?
Go to the Minnesota Atheists website, minnesotaatheists.org. On the left, click on the words Get Awe-Inspired.
And for the meetup?
Look for the red meetup badge on the right. Above it are the words Click here to check out the meetup group.
I'm sold. Minnesota Atheists, Meetup, and AWE. What's that website again?
MinnesotaAtheists.org.
Hello, and welcome to the American Atheist Viewpoint. I'm Nick Fish, National Program Director for American Atheists, and thank you as always for joining us. This week, the Federal Emergency Management Agency announced that churches, for the first time, would be eligible to receive grants intended to help essential service providers rebuild following a natural disaster. So these are grants that are intended to help what are called non-critical essential government-type services, organizations that provide those sorts of services. So these are groups like alcohol and drug treatment facilities, homeless shelters, libraries, food assistance programs, museums, performing arts centers, things like that, things that provide types of services that are similar to what the government would provide and are open to the general public and are available to be this is the sort of thing that has really taken off as a result of a mischaracterization on the part of the president and on the part of people who advocate for churches receiving this money. They're framing it by saying things like And this is a tweet from the president. Quote, churches in Texas should be entitled to reimbursement from FEMA relief funds for helping victims of Hurricane Harvey, just like others, the president tweeted. That's the end of the quote. Churches are already eligible for reimbursement for services they provide. What FEMA is doing is changing the definition of community centers and changing the definition of who is eligible for these grants. And again, this isn't a reimbursement. This isn't for the church who houses victims and suffers damage as a result of housing those victims or suffers expenses because of work that they're doing to provide disaster relief. These are grants intended to help organizations rebuild their facilities after a disaster. So sort of in recognition of service that they provide in the course of their normal business, so not during the disaster. This has nothing to do with reimbursement after disasters. And what's more is they're misapplying the Trinity Lutheran case. The Trinity Lutheran case was about vouchers being given to churches or religious organizations to undertake secular services or undertake some sort of project that had a nominally secular purpose. What these grants that FEMA is allowing churches to have access to, what those grants do is they would allow the churches to rebuild things like their sanctuary, to rebuild a steeple, to refurbish or refurnish their religious facilities. So purchasing Bibles, purchasing the shrines, purchasing all the stuff that has nothing to do with providing secular services, but only for religious worship purposes. And while obviously we really feel bad for churches, we feel it's really too bad when something happens like this, when there's an act of God, so to speak, that impacts a community and impacts individual organizations and individual businesses. This change doesn't equalize anything. It's not that churches were being shut out of something that just generic secular organizations have access to. It's only a limited sort of organization that had access to these grants. It's not just, if American Atheists was in Texas when the hurricane struck and our headquarters was damaged, we wouldn't be eligible for these sort of grants because we do not provide the sorts of social services that the grants are intended to help support after a disaster. We would have to have flood insurance, or we would have to apply for government subsidized loans, which, by the way, the churches are already eligible to apply for. This is, in fact, elevating churches above similarly situated organizations and giving them special access to things. Now, obviously, giving money directly to churches from the government for the purposes of building religious facilities, this is the definition of an Establishment Clause violation. This is exactly the sort of thing that the founders warned us against and that they were strongly opposed to. Because what this is it's a direct transfer of taxpayer dollars to a religious institution for the purposes of building a church, period. It has nothing to do with building, if they have a homeless shelter, they would have been eligible already to use federal funding to reimburse for the expenses they have there. What this does is take it even a step further, and they're essentially robbing a fund that is supposed to help communities provide social services and get those organizations back up and running as soon as possible. They're robbing that fund to pay for Bibles and to pay for altars and to pay for the Torah ark and to pay for minarets and to pay for steeples. This isn't the intent. This isn't what these things should be doing. And so this is something that we and many of the other atheist organizations are monitoring very closely because we need to see exactly what form this is going to take. And it's of note that they're not categorizing this as a rules change because changing rules requires that the government go through certain procedures. All they're doing here is reinterpreting an existing rule and not actually making a new one, which means they can sort of play a little more fast and loose with the timing of things and providing for public comment and all that, which, you know, really speaks to the attitude that they have toward this change, that this is more about, you know, robbing a piggy bank was the way that I think the Secular Coalition for America termed it. And that's exactly what it is. This is a smash and grab. This is let's get whatever resources we can immediately and do it as soon as possible before anybody can challenge it. And, you know, they're, again, misapplying the ruling in Trinity, which was the playground repaving case, and misapplying it and taking it even further, which is exactly what we warned against in the briefs that were filed for that case, that this was just ripe for misinterpretation and for further expansion of churches' access to money in a totally unaccountable and untransparent way. Now, the other thing that and one of the reasons that I think that churches should be hesitant to want this money is that it comes with strings. It comes with transparency requirements, or it should. And do churches really want to open up their books to make sure that this money is being spent in the way that it's supposed to be? Do we want the government to be in the position of having to tell a church that spending $100,000 on an altar is a frivolous expense? Is that the decision that we want the federal government making on behalf of churches? If churches want to, you know, spend $100,000 on an altar, they have every right to do that, but they have every right to do that with their money, not with our taxpayer dollars, not with the money that the government is giving them. If their donors want to support that, then their donors can give them the money to do that. You know, and there's certainly an argument to be made about whether or not that should be tax deductible, but it is. That's a benefit they already have. What they don't have to do is report any of their numbers. They don't have to disclose their finances. And giving a blank check to a church to rebuild altars is not something that we should be doing with disaster relief money. That's all the time I have for this week. Thank you, as always, for joining us. For more information about our work, please visit www.atheists.org. Thanks so much, and Happy New Year.